Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
How are you, friend?
I'm having a little trouble sleeping these days.
Really? Are you an insomniac or a non-somniac?
I didn't know a non-somniac was a thing.
Yeah, my dad's neighbor slash his neighbor dad buddy, Beto, claimed to be a non-somniac.
Someone who does not sleep at all.
Exactly. Okay. So his claim was not that he did not sleep at all, but rather someone who, when they didn't sleep, it was because they did not require sleep.
Okay.
So I think he said he slept like 3 or 4 hours a night.
Okay.
And that was all he needed.
All right. That seems like an exaggeration, though, calling yourself a non-somniac because you sleep
3 or 4
yeah,
hours
like
a night.
Yeah, like half as much as you're supposed to.
So you think that the rule should be only if you are a non-sleeper?
I would say
like if
under,
you're on crank.
I want to say under 2 hours.
Under two?
Under two.
What if you're doing that like Benjamin Franklin thing where you sleep for 20 minutes every 4 hours or whatever?
If within 24 hours you sleep less than 2 hours, then you can say you have a disorder or whatever.
Okay.
But if you're just a guy who doesn't sleep that, I don't know.
Do you have to use like a speed chess clock?
Ideally. Yeah. I mean, that's my favorite way to keep time.
Sure. Well, it's
bam, you know, bam.
Yeah, it's my favorite way to punctuate the editing rhythm of a film about a troubled urban youth.
There's almost a musicality to it. You know, like the music of the streets. Boo-boo-bap, 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 you know.
When you're a jet, you're a jet.
Yeah. Here comes a Puerto Rican. Sausages for sale. Hey, tell your mom I said hi.
Bell peppers.
I'm walking over here.
Yeah, exactly. I know about the rhythm of the streets.
Boo-boo-bop. Okay, anyway. Yeah. You heard my scat. What are we talking about?
We were talking about your trouble sleeping.
I'm kind of a broken record on the show lately. I have a lot of cat stories.
Right.
And I know people do not like them. There's
what?
No cross.
What are you talking about, Jordan?
I'm kidding. I know that they like them.
Oh,
because they're little podcast wieners.
Why did you say
they love stories about cats?
Why did you say that people didn't like them?
Because I was.
That's the opposite of what you meant.
I was doing opposite speak.
Oh, opposite speak.
I learned it on the streets. Boo boo bap. Boo boo bap.
Like Jonathan Swift?
Bus stop.
The legendary opposite writer?
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Having some cat issues.
Yeah.
Cat has become very active at night.
Oh. Like a raccoon?
Yes, exactly. She's washing her food in a stream. and which is weird because there was not a stream in my house before.
Right.
So I think what has happened.
Did she bring in some workmen?
Yeah. Well, there's a stream there. I don't know how it got there.
Uh-huh. Is it bucolic at all?
Yeah, but it's kind of nice. I mean, it babbles like a brook.
Oh, that's nice.
So that's
relaxing.
That's
an upgrade for if you get a stream that babbles, that means you got a premium stream because that comes standard with a brook.
Yeah.
But you got to pay extra to get that with a stream.
Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. This story is going to go on for another 45 minutes.
Really?
So do we want to introduce our guest? I don't know what his pet situation is like, but maybe he'll have something to offer.
Or how his sleep's doing.
Yeah, I don't know either of those things.
Yeah, you know him as a celebrated podcaster, gallerist, and a not celebrated rapper. Now a celebrated memoirist on the topic of his rap failures, Jensen Karp.
That was a great intro.
Thank you very much. I freestyled it.
I appreciate it.
I speak the rhythm of the streets.
I said, boop, bop, boop, bop, subway. I for sure have cat issues, but I've gotten over them, and I think I can help.
Okay. Do you want to give us a little primer?
I have a dog and a cat.
Okay.
The cat had behavioral issues for about 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Nighttime, but also just crabby and mean, and was a great cat before that.
Sure. But just all of a sudden flipped.
Yes. Yes. Like feral. Like watch that TV show. Cat from Hell.
Uh-huh.
DVR'd it because I was having trouble. That's like how deep it got. Yeah, like it's not. I wasn't playing around.
So you had a cat.
What kind? Wait, no, hold on. Okay. What are the symptoms? Disrespect to teachers.
Yeah, disrespect to teachers.
Talking back to elders.
Cursing. Mm-hmm. No, you know, like attacking the dog or not being like actually sort of scratching at me. I had never heard him hiss before.
Yeah.
And then this all started to just come out of nowhere. And so I went to a vet because the cat had surgery. Has your cat had anything?
No, she's not had she's not been to the vet recently.
Okay, my cat had teeth surgery. Nothing crazy, but had a couple teeth removed. And the cat the vet was like, he's mad at you for the surgery.
Sure.
And so he's like, but you got to
misses those choppers.
Yeah, he misses them and is mad at me for taking them. I'm the
harder to eat taffy.
Yeah,
now.
I'm like I'm the anti-tooth fairy.
Okay.
And I left shit under his pillow. And so I got one of the streamer toys and treats, and they just gave me like a 3 or 4 sort of tiered project to do. I did all of them, and my cat is a very happy. You got to tire him out.
Oh yeah, you got to tucker him.
Yeah, you got to make him tired like a baby.
Oh boy,
do they have to be semi tuckered or plum tuckered?
I think plum.
Yeah,
I wouldn't. I'm semi. I think you're just going half assed.
So okay, so you. So this is probably kind of what I'm going through right
now. Yeah, similar.
Just scooting around the house, doing a lot of scooting around 2 a.m.
So scooting, you're talking about a booty dragging situation?
No, this is like dashing.
Oh, dashing.
Yeah.
Because I did think booty dragging too.
Yeah, that's what scooting means.
Yeah, oh no, this is not. I don't think she's trying
like a Tula Crew dancer.
No, I don't think that's happening. I don't think she's trying to remove worms from her anus.
Right.
I think it's
as a Tula Crew dancer
was. Sure, for instance. Well, you know, they shouldn't eat food off the ground.
That's true.
Uncle Luke just travels from one side of Miami to the other.
Yeah, hates catering.
Seeking buxom women who are having problems with worms in their butts.
Sure. Good at twerking and loose bowels. That's the classified ad he puts up.
Ideally. Uh-huh. There's a lot of just scampering. I'll just wake up because there's a pitter patter.
Any knocking off table?
She's a big table knocker offer.
It's a rough one.
I'm trying to keep things off the tables that could potentially get knocked off.
With regard to the pitter patter, what size are her feet?
Standard cat size.
Okay, so not tiny?
These are little fuzzies.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Little fuzzies.
Sure.
Little
size
cat.
Do you know the size Jordans your cat wears?
No, but yeah, okay. I think that's why she's so hyper, is because she spends all day sitting in a lawn chair on Fairfax. Yeah,
like a streetwear kid?
Yeah, that's her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something?
So I think when she gets home, she's like, oh, well, I got these new Jordans, but I've been sitting in a fucking lawn chair all day.
Totally.
I want to continue to address the bug situation here. Mm-hmm. That's your cat's name.
Yeah.
But real quickly with regard to size of Jordans, it reminded me, I have a friend who's a sneaker enthusiast.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And he recently broke his foot. But he's like a semi-professional sneaker enthusiast, so he's always going to these sneaker cons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I
know
about
these
him.
Sneaker events. And he's a grown adult.
Like,
this is a man in his, how old is he? Mid-40s, I'm going to say. But he's at the Sneaker Con Tokyo. He's at the Sneaker Con London.
Hosted by Clark Kent.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same event over and over.
Mark the 45 King is there. And he was posting pictures on Instagram of something that I found so spectacularly amazing, which is he went to the sneaker cons wearing 1 Air Jordan on his foot and 2 infant-sized matching Air Jordans on his crutches.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is really
great.
I mean, that's as good as it gets,
that's
right?
Baller,
that's commitment to being sneaker guy.
Yeah. Okay, so back to bug.
Oh, you know, I have a sneaker thought.
Okay.
While we're in this zone.
Yeah.
A struggle that I have is trying to keep the amount of nerd shit I have to a respectable level.
Okay. Vinyl figurines.
That's never been a thing that I've wanted, but stuff like that.
Video game clamshells.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, just like, some is fine. And, you know, obviously there's handsome nerd stuff.
What are you hiding? What is it? What is it that you're thinking right now? Like, what is the thing?
When you say handsome nerd stuff, are you specifically referring to pictures of our friend Chris Hardwick?
Yes. Yeah. Pictures of Chris Hardwick kissing Will Wheaton.
Got it.
You know, handsome nerd stuff.
So handsome.
Yeah. I have the one copy of that.
Mm-hmm.
I saw there are some new Vans coming out with 8-bit Zelda shit on them.
Mm. Yeah.
And that, boy, I realize how my fuckability will plummet if I get those. Oh, but I want them.
Yeah.
I don't know why I want them. I love Vans, and I love old Zelda, so I'm having a, I don't know.
Jordan,
you don't
have to explain this to me. If there was a new pair of Nike Air Jordans that had baseball stars themed stuff on it,
yeah,
I would be there. I would buy it.
I don't think I'm going to buy them. Yeah, but I will look at the website that has them on them.
I had the Milhouse. I had the Milhouse ones.
What are the Milhouse
ones? They had Milhouse drawn on them. I had a Pooh ones. I bought all the Simpsons ones.
That just had a Pooh drawn on it?
Yeah, over and over. Yeah, like an all over weird. A Pooh.
These are Vans?
I thought you were going to fist bump me, no. Jesse, which I know is not your brand. No, I know, sir, it's not your brand, but here's what I want.
Brand for me.
But here's what I want to say about it.
You're a marketing consultant, you know.
I know for sure. And what I was going to say is I was so happy that you were with me,
uh-huh.
And then to look up and realize, number one, Jesse doesn't fist bump, which would make sense for who he is,
sure.
But also that he's not doing it.
Right.
I felt the pain that you're going through about the Zeldas.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to get any fist bumps for him, and I understand that now.
Zero fist bumps.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I can understand why you would want those Zeldas.
Yeah.
I understand that completely, because rarely do I see you out of Vans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put it at 60% Vans,
sure.
It's your lifestyle.
That's
and
a
has
good point.
Been since I've known you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a classic simple sneaker.
Sure.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
It honors your Southern California heritage.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you love to do kickflips.
Sure, yeah.
And you love you love California games.
Yeah, I do love California.
Hacky sack. Frisbee.
Yeah.
Man,
hard, frustrating surfing. Yeah. Are you talking about the video game?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
And that is the hardest part of
that
entire game.
Oh, that surfing
game.
Is so hard.
Jordan, same as TNC surf.
Yeah.
Same problem.
Skateboarding, elegant. Surfing, nonsense.
No.
There's no
frustration.
What do you do?
I don't know what you do. Same thing as landing in Top Gun.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
Also,
if there was a pair of Diodoras right now that I could buy that were Clax themed.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
Clax for the Atari Lynx.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That my rich friend in middle school gave to me because he didn't use it.
Right.
Maybe they'll just be a secret thing. Maybe I'll get the Vans and just put them somewhere in the house, like up on a shelf. Like, I'll have a shelf for, you know, the sex stuff, and then a shelf behind that shelf for the stuff that is more embarrassing.
Right.
Well, how about this, Jordan?
Yeah.
And I do want to get back to Bug here.
Sure.
I don't know if you have a cum dumpster in your life right now.
But maybe that's where I put them?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's just a fun idea I had.
It's possible.
Just tape them under the cum dumpster.
No, use them as a cum dumpster.
Oh, cum in them.
Yeah.
There are. Have we talked?
It shouldn't be too hard. I mean, every time you look at them, you'll probably be, you know.
Close to jizzing?
Sure, yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, yes, pre-jizzing.
Yeah.
We have talked about those videos before of the guys who unwrap the new Jordans and then piss on them, haven't we?
Wait, what? Hold on. Number one.
Excuse
for you,
me?
The microphone was just thrown down. For you to even mimic that you've talked about it before.
I swear to God, we've talked about this on the podcast. We've talked about Sonic the Hedgehog fan art and guys who piss on their new Jordans.
Do you know why I know you've never talked about it? Because I didn't see it on CNN about you talking about it.
Okay.
And I know that's where it would have ended up.
Because
that's a crazy thing. So they buy them. They spend all that money on them.
Here's how the videos will go.
Okay.
They start out like an unboxing video.
Sure.
Jordan, don't worry. My microphone is set up again.
Oh, good. Yeah.
you may continue.
You toppled it over.
Wait till this story's on, though.
I'm positive we talked about this before.
No.
We talked about
my friend Dallas, who had the tiny Jordans to go with his one big Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We talked about that.
Anyway, this will be nice because I think Jensen is kind of adjacent to this world, and I'd like to get his reaction.
Into the Nike pissing world?
Yes, exactly. Well, just piss play.
Okay, piss play. Yes.
I don't know what you like.
Sorry,
I just know that you're a man who likes
love it. Golden
hot
showers.
Jets.
Yeah, love it. Love
like
it.
Like a hot jet.
Yep.
So it'll start out like an unboxing video of a man unboxing these sneakers and showing them to the camera and talking about them.
Well, I'm in already. I'm in. Okay.
And then he will put them on, and he will piss himself.
What the
and
fuck?
Then the piss will dribble down into the sneakers, and he'll slosh around in them. He'll do little stomps so you can hear the pee squishing around in the Jordans.
What the fuck?
And then that's it. And then someone somewhere is masturbating for some reason.
That is such a specific.
Yes.
Because you're looking at a market of urban homosexual piss enthusiasts.
Wow. Well,
yeah. I mean, I don't think it's ladies masturbating to these pee videos.
No.
Right?
Yeah, but I don't know if the man. Yeah, no, you're okay. You're right.
You're using the same thought that I have about phone sex, which is like, oh, it's definitely a girl on the other line, not a dude with a very girly voice. It's probably a dude with a very girly voice.
Could be a dude with it. So you're saying You're saying that the purveyors of these Michael Jordan brand sneaker urine videos. Mm-hmm.
That's, yes.
Splish splash videos,
yes.
They're called.
Yep.
Are traveling the world looking for gentlemen of dainty foot. Mm-hmm. Wait, no. Ladies of husky foot.
Yes. Right. Right. Yes. Does he ever show his face?
In the ones I've watched, in the, you know, 9 or 10 dozen that I've watched, you don't see the guy's face.
I once
And you don't see his dong. I mean, it's on YouTube.
What if it's Clarence Thomas?
Supreme Court Justice.
Yeah, just pans up one day and it's just Supreme Court Justice.
And he just
Clarence
goes,
Thomas.
Shh. Yeah. Shh, don't tell. It's just one. I love this. I love pee-pee in my shoes.
And it cuts out.
And I think there are other adjacent videos of people like ruining nice clothes.
Because
like,
I think
putting
it's
on a suit and then getting in a bathtub and then.
Because I think it's about degrading. It's not about the urban Jordan, right? It's about degrading something that's expensive.
Yeah, I mean, I think so.
Or
I mean,
are
obviously,
they like dope Jordans?
I mean, as I couldn't tell you. They seemed
What
nice.
Colorway is it? Were they the Supreme
I don't
cool
remember
Jordans?
The Jordans. I just remember the piss dribbling into them.
Tell me more. Well, talk slower.
I know. Well, it's just some hot jets like you like.
I accidentally watched a shoe fetish video a couple years ago that was for a slightly different form of what we're talking about, which is I was searching online for the Jordans of the Fancy Lad set. Mm-hmm. Which is a type of shoes called opera pumps, which are like a shoe you wear with black tie that are slip-ons with a little bow on it.
Okay.
Chicks love them when dudes wear them. And so I was looking for that. I was looking for particular ones online. I can't remember. I was trying to figure out what's how they ran size-wise or something. So I was going to bid on them on eBay or something. And there was a video on YouTube of a middle-aged man and – some kind of mid-tier, lower-tier sports car, like a Camaro or a Mustang or something.
Okay.
And it was called a heel-slipping video. Mm-hmm. And it came up because it said, like, you know, Polo Ralph Lauren opera pumps, heel-slipping. Mm-hmm. And it was just him, like, sitting in the car, getting into the car, sitting on the hood of the car, and kind of slipping the heel of his shoe in and out. Their slip-on shoes. And it genuinely took me 30 seconds to realize that I was supposed to be masturbating. And even then, it was hard. You know, so I'm heterosexual and not into it. But I did it.
Yeah.
And I did what I had
to
do.
Well, you had to for research.
Yeah.
The detail of telling us that it was a muscle American car honestly made it creepier. I'm happy you said it. Because I would have thought it was a nice sports car. But since you've said it was a Camaro or Mustang, it's so much creepier.
Some heel slipping.
Yeah.
Wait, so okay, have we done all
the
shoe stuff?
Yeah, we talked about the shoe stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's covered. I should be addressed that purely coincidentally, I am wearing Jordans today.
As am I.
Jordans that I've not worn for several years.
Mine are doused in piss.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Is that what that musk is?
Yeah.
I've been using mine as
your piss smells lovely.
Well, thank
by
you.
The way.
That's why I do the videos.
Yeah.
I've been using mine as a cum dumpster.
Oh, good. Yeah. Gotta put it up on the shelf.
Thank you.
So it's cat issues.
Yeah.
Cats scooting around.
Insomnia, not non-somnia, just to summarize for the listener.
Scooting around. And then now she'll just, at a certain point, start vocalizing.
Yeah.
Just
now,
vocalizing.
What are we talking about? Like,
well,
the tip of the tongue, the teeth, and the lips. The tip of the tongue, the teeth, and the lips.
Well, if I was to put it in song, I would say that she's working on her night muse. That's all I came to the podcast with today.
That's pretty great.
I'm glad we've got this much out of it, because that's all I was planning.
Pretty good lead-in.
But no, there'll just be, like, there'll just, at the time during that, there'll just come some, meow, meow.
Yeah.
Is she a Maoist?
She is, and she's doing calisthenics, too.
She's more of a Marxist-Leninist.
Well, so I don't know. I don't know. Jensen, you were saying that
Very similar.
Similar problem.
Yeah, just tired. I started tiring my cat out.
Okay.
I had to put 20 to 30 minutes aside to do exercises with the streamer toy. Mm-hmm. You know that one.
Yep.
And then also a little bit of just playing.
Sure.
Yeah, and that like slows it down.
Okay.
What kind of exercises?
Literally, you just put the streamer toy above the cat and then let them hat, and they it's just like it's their favorite toy in the world. Mm-hmm. You just have to it's tiring because you have to put your arm out the whole time.
Sure.
And then you just mess around, and that's the way the cat works out that aggression also.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to start blocking out some time in the day for tuckering out.
And also, DVR My Cat from Hell. I'm not kidding. It sounds like a dumb joke to throw out, but it actually sort of helped me.
I mean, I've watched a few episodes of this show. This is a show where
a rockabilly weirdo.
A guy who aspires to Guy Fieri.
Yeah. He brings a guitar case filled with cat toys to your house. That's a real thing, not a thing I just made up.
Yeah. This is your classic reality show. Fat guy with a rock and roll attitude.
Yeah, it's like if the dude from Smash Mouth didn't have a hit. Ever. Right. Like, not even one.
And
he shows up to your house.
So
he
shows up to your house, and then he helps your mean cat.
Yes.
And he makes it less mean.
Uh-huh, he does great.
Did you guys see what happened when Smash Mouth endorsed Hillary Clinton on Twitter?
No.
No.
So Smash Mouth endorsed Hillary Clinton on Twitter.
Smash Mouth collectively? Or the guy from Smash Mouth?
It was from the Smash Mouth Twitter account.
Okay.
And I do not know
what pronoun they used.
Right. Or I don't know how much of Smash Mouth is the original band.
I am endorsed Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
I just thought of how sad it would be to be Smash Mouth's social media manager.
Yeah.
That's such a fucking bum out.
I can't imagine that's not a guy who's not in Smash Mouth, right? There's not a separate guy for that.
The job interview is just questions about how many state fairs you can identify.
Yeah. If you smell a churro, we're playing.
How many funnel cakes can you carry backstage?
We go on right after Prairie Home Companion.
Oh, man. They fucking wish. These guys are gone after the monsters of motocross.
That's true. Yeah, Papa Roach is their leading.
The Prairie Home Companion Smash Mouth double bill that you just came up with, Jensen.
It's pretty good.
Wow. I feel like committing suicide just thinking about it.
I think it sounds like a lovely evening.
Yeah.
Well, they're all Hillary Clinton supporters.
Right. Yeah. They endorsed Hillary Clinton and the little Bernie wieners got on him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not making a judgment call on Bernie Sanders, who I think is
these
a lovely
people were
man.
Wieners. These people were
there's
wieners.
I'm talking about a kind of guy.
Yeah, there's a type of guy.
Yeah.
He wants to tell you about things.
He absolutely wants to tell you about things. Yeah. But so they started to attack Smash Mouth on Twitter and one of them said something like, you know, fuck you guys. You wouldn't even have a hit song if it wasn't for Shrek. And the Smash Mouth own to this kid was, joke's on you. We've had two hits, and one of them wasn't even in Shrek. It's like the greatest exchange.
That's really funny.
Yeah, it's like, fuck you. We have had
one other hit
song
that wasn't from Shrek.
That Shrek had nothing to do with.
Well, because All-Star is not a Shrek song.
I think All Star is the Shrek song. I think the one they were probably talking about is Walking on the Sun.
They did a cover for Shrek. I'm looking this up.
Okay.
Go on to talk on about behavior.
Yeah. So I don't know. I really – and that to me actually maybe pointed to there is no social media manager, but a guy from Smash Mouth runs this himself.
Oh.
That's such a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
That's like Blues Traveler, that John Popper gets in fights with people on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Because he searches his own name.
John Popper has a Google alert for himself, and if a comedian will make a joke that involves the phrase Blues Traveler, he'll get at you.
Big time.
Not even if you don't even have to at him.
Yeah.
He just has the Google alert if you mention him.
And you got to be careful because he's got those bandoliers.
Sure, yeah.
You know what could happen.
Yeah.
They have two songs, and I think they have songs in both tracks.
Okay.
And one of them is All-Star, and the other one is I just can't find out what cover it is, but the other one is a cover.
Okay.
Do they have a song in Puss in Boots?
No. They got rid of them for that.
Yeah.
They're like, finally an opening.
They're like,
guys, we finally got LFO.
You know what did come up when I did type in Smash Mouth cover, which is by far a sadder result?
Mm-hmm.
Listen to Smash Mouth cover Under Pressure in Memory of David Bowie.
You know what?
Nope.
I will say this.
Oh, no.
I will say this.
Oh, no.
When that happened, it was the target of all of the internet hate.
Sure. Right.
Couldn't have been more poorly timed. You know, one of the internet's favorite targets, you know, gets out there and does something that's, you know, maybe a little too soon.
Mm-hmm.
Song's not that bad.
Oh, come on.
It's
really?
Not, you know, it's not
if
good.
Brian is loading it up for
it's
us right now.
It's pretty.
Did you like?
It's by the numbers. There's no surprises. They just do the song.
Incorporate the Vanilla Ice verse.
No, Vanilla Ice is not involved.
Were you a fan of Limp Bizkit's Fame? They covered Fame.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they did a while back, way pre-death, but it's like them and Everlast doing Fame.
Boy, Limp Bizkit or Dead?
Well, to me.
Yeah, take that, Limp Bizkit. Fuck you.
Garp doesn't fuck with you.
They get hit pretty hard in my book, just to be honest with you. Fred Durst does not get it good.
Hold on.
Yeah, I worked with him a lot, unfortunately.
We mentioned your memoir.
Yeah, that's the book.
Do you want to...
Yeah, let's save this for the next segment.
Okay,
sure.
Okay,
sure.
So are we going to listen to the Smash Mouth song?
Yeah, well, of course we're going to listen to the Smash Mouth song.
Ooh.
It's By the Numbers.
Yeah, I mean, so far, it really just...
They're just playing the song.
Yeah, but it has a little bit of a little Jimmy Buffett vibe to it.
I didn't say it was good. I'm just saying that I think it got face fucked by everyone for being this, you know, for being this awful sacrilegious thing. When I think these guys are just playing the song, I think they genuinely like it. You know, dude's a bad singer.
He's a terrible singer.
I mean, he's not even technically a singer.
Well, what's weird about it is all they've done with the entire song is just add a little bit of Smash Mouthy, like, guitar chorusing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just there's a few extra guitar tracks or something.
Sure.
You know, whatever it is that gives those Smash Mouth guitars the guitar song sound of Smash Mouth.
It's a special pedal.
But only, like, 10% of that, and plus the guy's a shitty singer. Like, that's the difference between, they don't have a take on the song.
Right.
Other than, what if we did that song... but with less good of singing.
Sure. It's like when Cheesecake Factory makes Chinese food.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like sure, you tried. I'm proud of you. You did exactly what we do. But you put
we
your
all
cheesecake,
make it
you know,
diarrhea
like,
from
yeah,
this.
You put your CPK shit in it, and
yeah,
that makes it bad. Yeah.
I think but from the way people were attacking it, you would think that there was a rap or a reggae verse or something.
Right.
Which
right.
I think would tip it over into audacious, you know, that obnoxious zone that they have inhabited before. Anyway,
I think Smash Mouth probably have a reggae album, right?
Oh my god!
I think their rock is probably reggae tinged,
like a reggae tinged rock sound.
Yeah, like I think they kind of are in that space with 311 and Sublime.
Yeah, they usually headline Reggae Sunsplash, right?
Oh yeah, right. With
or the 311
with Peter Tosh.
Yeah, with all the illegitimate Marley children.
And Dan Marley from the Phoenix Suns.
And, of course, the dear departed Marley and me.
Yeah, exactly. Right, right, right.
Now I'm just imagining. Now all I can think about is like a college rock band like OAR or something
like
that.
Yeah, of a revolution, sure.
But it's like Dan Marley, Mark Price.
Craig Elo.
Craig Elo.
And Brad Daugherty. Brad Daugherty on the stand-up bass.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
New to Maximum Fun, the Beef and Dairy Network podcast, the number one podcast for those involved or just interested in the production of beef animals and dairy herds. All sponsored by Grazex, the latest grass replacement pellet from Mitchell's. If it's not Mitchell's, get back in the truck. Find us at MaximumFun.org or on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast from. And if it's not clear, this is a comedy podcast. Beef out.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, the voice of the millennial generation.
Jordan Morse, boy detective.
Jensen Karp, the Jewish Jay-Z. You don't like it?
You wouldn't just say Jew-Z?
No, I wouldn't.
Why wouldn't you?
Well, because here's the thing. I give respect enough to Jay-Z to say, I'm the version of you. I don't need to switch it.
Oh.
Because if I was going to go regular name for Jew, it's Beanie Siegel.
Have you met...
That's just a Jewish name. Yeah, that's not...
Have you met a Jewish Beyonce?
Well, would that be Beyonce?
I don't know. I mean, this is your deal.
Right.
I was in favor of Jews.
Jewish Beyonce is technically Barbara Streisand.
Okay.
Just if you're going by math.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I am.
Then that's
I am
what it
nothing
is.
But mathematical.
Sure. Yeah. That's what it is then.
I'm interested that you're claiming the Jew rap throne.
I do. It's me and Barman. And I don't think that there
are any of the Beastie Boys Jewish.
No, I don't. Well, Search is Search decides when he wants to be Jewish. So let's put that in a category of its own.
MC Search.
MC Search is
base.
Jewish sometimes, and sometimes he's not Jewish. Depends on the interview. The Beastie Boys.
Depends on if there's a McRib at stake. Am I right, guys?
My thing is for the Beastie Boys. I'm the biggest fan. They're top three inspiration for me. But I do not put them as straight rappers. I put them as guys
gay
who,
rappers?
No, yeah. Yeah. I put them as homosexual rappers. This is a very big breakout for me here in this podcast.
I just don't, like there's some real stories in this book of yours.
It's a pretty juicy memoir. I just put them in a different category. They were with Rick Rubin doing punk rock, and then they were influenced by the hip hop stuff and were sort of always a hybrid to me. But always the best of the hybrids. But as far as straight hip hop, there are not many of us.
Yeah, you probably are better at rapping than they are.
I think I feel they weren't rappers, but that's not a diss at all. That's just
you know what? I really like this theory.
It's true.
I've been known once every 3 years. Mm-hmm. I forget that everyone likes the Beastie Boys besides me. Mm-hmm.
You don't like them at all?
I like some of their music videos are fun.
Right. That's a Spike Jonze fan.
Yeah, and I like Sabotage. That's a fun song.
You like Ill Communication, I bet.
I like the one where they go intergalactic planetary and the robots are fighting.
Yep, that happened.
That was fun. I hate it when they rap.
And that's because they're not rappers.
Yeah. This gives me a whole new vista on the Beastie Boys because all I feel like is it's little babies yelling at me. But now that I think of them as just a creative vocalist.
That's what they were.
Like the guy from Faith No More.
Exactly. Very sure. Similar. Patton. Mike Patton, right?
Yeah, Mike Patton.
Very similar. I would say it's a similar bit.
Yeah, because I think the songs that I like the most are the least rap-centric ones.
Sure.
I like the kind of fun sounds they make and
stuff. You didn't like Check Your Head?
I don't like basically anything. I think I just listed all the things about the Beastie Boys that I like.
That's it. Because my shit was Paul's Boutique. I also, as a kid, I loved License Ill because it was just like noise. But as I grew up, I only really have strong, strong appreciation. Like, wow, this is a classic record about Paul's Boutique.
I think we're not going to get into a huge rap thing, I promise. Okay. We're going to talk about Jensen's rap
career. I received Paul's Boutique as a gift. For I think my 12th birthday.
That's a great gift. What did you hang out with only Pitchfork critics?
This is from Mike Nguyen.
All right,
he was a lovely guy.
Yeah,
Mike, if you're out there, get in touch. Thank you for the Beastie Boys album.
He's very credible.
Yeah,
it's from Jordan's high school friend DJ Shadow.
Yeah. Kid Koala, my friend from middle school.
I think I did not like I was completely not exposed to the Beastie Boys as a kid. Like I'm a little bit too young.
Yeah.
To have enjoyed them in their first round of celebrity and, you know, they didn't become beloved icons until I was in my late teens. And by then, the sound of their voice was too annoying to me.
And listen, I totally understand what you're saying. I do believe them to be pioneers, but I also believe them to be pioneers with Rick Rubin. I don't think it was like them alone. They weren't a rap group to me.
Okay. I like that. As I said, this makes me feel a lot better about the Beastie Boys overall. The whole idea of it is a ton of fun to me.
Third base were my dudes.
And I support it. I support it all the way.
Yeah.
But let's talk about Jensen, your rap career, because you have a new book out that's called Kanye West Owes Me $300.
Yes. That is my book.
Colon something else.
And other true stories from a white rapper who almost made it big.
So you were – when I met you the first time.
Yes.
Some years ago.
Yes.
Later, someone informed me about your rap career, and I remembered a song that you had in, I want to say, a basketball video game that I
did.
I did.
In NBA Live 2003.
Yeah, there you go.
A song called Blau, produced by DJ Clue.
Yeah. So I may still be playing NBA Live 2003. I have a tendency to play whatever sports video game I can get for 99 cents.
Yes. I went platinum on that.
Really?
Because they sold like 2 million copies of the video game, and the video game came with a CD. So the CD got a plaque.
Shit.
Yeah, because it's the only video game that EA put out with a CD. So kids that were like 11 years old, that's my wheelhouse. Like they know everything I've done because that's one of their first CDs ever.
And by everything you've done, you mean
that song.
That one
song. Yeah, that song.
What else is on there?
There's a Busta Rhymes song. There's a lot of big people. Fabolous has a song on it. A guy named B. Rich has a song on it from Baltimore. And there's just a bunch of different rap people who Snoop has a song on it. Just Blaze, I think, did a couple instrumentals. And yeah, it was a great.
I feel like Just Blaze doing instrumentals was a big selling point, like scored by Just Blaze.
Yeah.
It was just like three Just Blaze beats.
Yeah, me and him were consultants for EA together, and they just kept bringing him in for like NBA Street and whatever thing they could get from him. Because he's also a video game nerd, so he would just show up and he'd be excited to do it.
Just Blaze, by the way, currently makes all of his legendary hip-hop producer, Just Blaze, the architect, along with Kanye West, of the many of the great hit records of the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Apparently just makes almost all of his living now DJing European EDM festivals.
Yeah, he's an EDM guy.
I think the punk/metal analog of this is I think there are bands who are touring now based on having had a song in a Tony Hawk game.
Oh, yeah?
Like, there are bands who can fill up a couple of dates a year from people who knew them from the Tony Hawk games.
Yeah, I think that's real because I feel like about once every 3 months I go to watch a rap video on YouTube that I remember from my childhood, and it'll be like game recognized game by JT the Bigga Figga.
I know the Figga. That's a good one.
Or like like a hieroglyphic song.
Sure.
That from when I was in high school.
And those always showed up in Tony Hawk games.
And every comment is about is just 24-year-olds reminiscing about playing Tony Hawk as teenagers.
Yeah, Ozo Motley. I think Ozo Motley.
Ozo Motley song.
That is a good one. Ozo Motley does the Hollywood Bowl because of Tony Hawk.
I think that's the reason why like Goldfinger still plays three times a year is because they had the one song in Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
I interviewed Ozo Motley once at KZSC, our college radio station. They couldn't have been lovelier dudes.
Was Charlie Tuna in this interview?
No, this was this was post-Charlie Tuna.
Sure.
But immediately post Charlie Tuna.
For a couple weeks.
And, I still could like sing their station ID they recorded for us, which was, it was like four different dudes, this big band, and they all went, "We are Ozo Motley." And then one of the guys said, "You are listening to," and, then another guy went, "Blaze it up." KZSC Santa Cruz.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, Ozo Motley's fun. If somebody wants me to go to the Ozo Motley show with him, I'm fucking in. That's a
blast. That first record's great.
Yeah.
Love that record.
Great record.
Yeah.
You have a Fred Durst thing.
Yeah. Well, the elevator pitch of my career was that I had always loved rap, always been good at battling. I was always pretty much my city's best battler, which isn't saying much. But in the Valley, I pretty much decimated anyone who thought they could battle. And then I took it on to L.A.
When all the kids would gather outside the Big Boy.
Yeah, yeah. That was exactly
is that
how
where it
down.
Happened?
Exactly how it went down.
Okay.
Are you telling me you even beat Drew Carey?
I did. I destroyed Drew Carey.
Wow.
And so I would I entered a radio contest here in Los Angeles called The Roll Call, which is regional here in L.A. and New York. It was originated here in LA by the Baker Boys, who are, you know, a foundation in urban radio. And before me, the only champion had ever won 10 days in a row. And you battle against three or four people a day over the phone. You don't know what they look like. Mm-hmm. You have to come up with punchlines. Some are freestyle, some are written. And I won 46 days, which is nuts. Mm-hmm. And so I pretty much had to start getting paid as a radio personality. I was starting to look like Paola, so they had to like work it out.
How old were you at this point?
I was 19.
Okay.
I was going to USC. And I was an intern on the Flintstones 2 movie. You may have seen it, Viva Rock Vegas.
It's absolutely my favorite Flintstones movie.
The best. You can see
it's really underrated. It's the Babe Pig in the City of Flintstones.
Yeah, you can see I was
really like. Yeah. I mean, it's just so far and away better than Flintstones 1.
It's the Gremlins 2.
I like they gave it a satirical edge, sort of like Gremlins 2.
We're commenting on.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so
wait, that was the one that didn't have the original cast, right?
Correct. We had Mark Addy as Fred Flintstone. We had Jane Krakowski as Betty Rubble.
Okay.
And then we had a Baldwin. We had Stephen Baldwin as Barney.
Okay.
And then I Kristen Johnson was our Wilma Flintstone.
Okay.
Wow. Was she addicted to serious drugs at the time?
There was something weird going on.
I know that's a big part of her life story.
There was something weird going on.
Yeah. Seems like a cool lady. But
We had Alan Cumming, which I loved. He was as the Great Gazoo.
I did. The Great Gazoo was in it.
Yeah. So that's what I was doing. And then rapping on the phone at 6 p.m. every day.
Okay.
And when I walked off the, I retired from the roll call myself to do finals at USC. And I got $1 million record deal offer from Jimmy Iovine based on the buzz that was going on. And so from there, I recorded an album that included Redman and Fabolous and Maya and a young Kanye West, DJ Quick, DJ Clue. All these people worked on my record just because they spent a ton of money on it. And it was a weird ride. And that's what the book's about, is sort of being in these situations that I ran into while having way too much money for a production budget in the music industry.
You really got in under the wire on million-dollar record deals.
Literally, I think I was the last one they handed out, and I might be the reason it stopped. but like, it was me and like Linkin Park, and it was just people who were making so much money for no reason, and I was one of them.
Yeah. I just love the idea that you got this million-dollar record deal by winning the freestyle contest on the radio for a month and a half in a row, thus making you essentially the white Jin.
Yeah, well, Jin and I came up together. So like Jin, we ended up working together a little bit because it was like, you were the radio Jin. He's the TV Hawk Carl.
Did he teach you to speak Chinese?
No. I didn't even – the song did not work.
Legendary Rough Riders single.
And by when you say legendary, that is very sweet of you.
Jin was like a repeat champion on Freestyle Fridays on 106 and Park on BET, who was Asian. He signed with the Rough Riders.
With DMX.
Which was a very interesting brand mix.
It was a weird decision.
You know, I mean, hey, you want to be friends with Eve? You can be friends with Eve.
Want
to meet Jadakiss?
You want Sheik Looch to carry your weed?
Yeah, exactly.
Come on in. But that Jin and I had similar gimmicks, which is that Jin didn't look like your normal rapper. I look like an accountant. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense that like we both sort of took off at the same time because hip-hop was looking for new voices. If they were ready for them or not, I think the answer is no, based on what happened to Jin and I. But I think they were looking for it. And now in 2016, it's hard to find a rapper that doesn't look like he works at Hot Topic. Like it was just we were both very early as to like trying to find new voices.
Do you keep up with Jin?
Jin is very funny. Jin just started following me on Twitter a couple weeks ago.
Hey!
He's doing stand-up comedy.
Okay.
Great. Yeah. Is he fun? Is he fun and funny like Justin Guarini?
I didn't want to look, to be honest. I sort of I just went, good to see he's doing all right, and then I kept moving. Didn't want to look into his stand-up career.
Did I make this up? Are you the game you did the song for? Are you a secret character?
Yeah. I asked for the code. I mean, literally, that's like write it on my tombstone shit. Because I'd grown up playing Lakers versus Celtics on EA Sports on Genesis. It's my favorite. It was my favorite thing growing up. And so for them to include my song was cool. That's cool. Whatever. But that could be like a little bit of label politics. But for them to put me as a surprise character, it was incredible. So you typed in California. I asked for it to be Jewish. The game developers were like, no, that's anti-Semitic. and so that you type in California in the menu.
Yeah.
And then I pop up as a secret character. Yeah.
Hell
with
yeah.
Short shorts. I asked for John Stockton shorts and goggles.
How were your stats?
The program developers told me that you can pick any rating you want, 1 to 99. We don't allow 100. And I said, okay. And I said, so what did Fabolous pick? And they go, 97. I go, well, what did another rapper pick? They go, B Rich picked 99. And I was like, ah. And I'm so obsessed with, like, in hip-hop, I like being real. Nowadays, I don't really care. I'll listen to Rick Ross and be like, oh, you're acting. But, like, at the time, I love hip-hop so much, I couldn't front. You know what I mean? Like, I always wanted to admit that I was from the suburbs. I wasn't raised with money, but I wasn't raised without money. So I wanted to make sure that I respected this art form I love so much. And so I wanted to do the same thing with the game. So when they were like, what's your rating? I was like, honestly, I only played freshman. Like, I didn't even really play JV. 77? And they were like, no, again, any... Sure. Any rating you want. The other guys pick 90s. I go, well, I'm a 77. And so the sad part is if you find me as a hidden character and you're so stoked you found me, you just have a bench warmer on your
character.
Team. Yeah, he's not any good at it. Yeah, so that's what I have.
I'm a secret character in the Def Jam wrestling game.
Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be incredible?
Not trying to brag, but...
Bubba Sparks is in that game, though.
Yeah, well...
And we came up together and I was like, what a lucky fucking... That's great.
Speaking of crippling addictions, I interviewed Bubba Sparks a year or two ago. Lovely guy.
Sure, I heard he's doing great now.
Yeah, he is. He's a country rapper now.
Yeah, he went kind of viral a couple weeks ago because he's lost like 150 pounds. He looks like he just got back from the war and he married a Miss Georgia or something. He married a beautiful, beautiful girl. And so that went viral. Like, whoa, look how skinny he is and look how hot his wife is. That's like, you know, made bigger news than any song he's released in 10 years.
I actually got so excited about Bubba Sparks. I was a big Bubba Sparks fan.
As you should be.
I am a big Bubba Sparks fan. And He had, as I said, he had recorded a couple of country rap songs, mm-hmm. which is a new genre. It's a new thing. I mean, it's not a completely new thing. There's always been like Haystack and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's a pretty new thing where these hip-hop, these just basically just fat dudes in truck sure. in trucker hats sitting on tractors do rap songs. And I liked Bubba so much because I like country music and Bubba makes it work really well. And that I probably spent 3 hours on YouTube watching country rap videos, just chasing the dragon
yeah.
of another thing that I would like. And yeah, it turns out I feel like it was Waylon Jennings has a son who raps as like Shooter or something like that, who actually was not bad. He was by far the best of the bunch. But like even like the dudes that are on Bubba Sparks's song were garbage. They were just garbage.
He has someone he's bringing out in that style too.
Oh yeah,
but Deliverance, the second record,
is one of their best.
It's classic.
It's a truly great record.
And Interscope just threw it in the trash. And so like we came up together, signed at the same time. I talk about him a lot in the book. I talk about Haystack in the book a little. And so yeah, the book is basically the sort of the industry. I went through it as an observer. I was a journalism major, so I always kept my eyes open, and I tell these stories about doing NBA Live and Busta Rhymes not wanting any ham in the dressing room, like little things that just are so strange that have never been talked about. And I wrote a song with Cisco, and I talk about going to his house and stealing porn from his bedroom and all these weird little things.
What kind of porn did you steal from his bedroom?
Well, that's the whole thing. I was told by college roommates that there was a big rumor on the internet that Cisco was homosexual. Mm-hmm. And I was a huge Drew Hill fan. And to me, that was like kind of shocking because all of his lyrics are about like, laying some woman down and sexing her. And so they were like, well, if you feel anything at the house, like, let us know.
It would be pretty shocking if you found out that a male R&B singer was homosexual.
Yeah, I think that would be a big deal.
Because their themes are so romantic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're about ladies. Like, and many of them are famous pussy slayers, like Luther Vandross, for example.
Or Johnny Gill.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of rumors that go around about a lot of R&B singers. And so when I went to write at his house, he was extremely cordial, very nice. I worked with another writer who I'd worked with who wrote Thong Song with him. Uh-huh. And so Cisco would come down and say hello and, sort of...
It was David Mamet, right?
Yeah, yeah. It was me, David Mamet, uh-huh. the guy, yeah, and Cisco, the Thong Song writers, yeah.
Sure.
And so he did it right after Spanish Prisoner, which makes sense because it's in the same
similar
wheelhouse.
Themes there, yeah.
And so... Cisco's a very nice man, leaves.
What was weird is that he insisted his wife have a part in the Thong Song.
Sure, yeah.
What's her name?
Oh, David.
Rebecca Pigeon.
And Shoshana, the daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, they both were in it. And so he comes down, says hello, leaves, and then I have to go to the bathroom. And Marquise, the other writer, says, we'll go inside. It's up the stairs to the right. Now, you'll pass Cisco's bedroom. It's right off his bedroom. I go, great. That's fine. And so I go up there, and I stop, and his room is like real creepy. It's like the bed's on the floor. Like, it looks like the same, like...
You mean like the bed is flushing? Like it's a recessed bed?
Yeah. Like clearly he has rented this place in Tarzana, mm-hmm. California, to record an album or something. Like, he's not living there. Like, even if he's talking about having sex with women, it's not in this house. He probably has, like, a sex house that I don't know about. Mm, like, this is garbage.
You mean as described on his album, Sex House?
Do you ever see that jiggle?
What's a good neighborhood for a sex house, if not Tarzan?
I mean, it's pretty good.
That's probably, well, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know that show Gigolos? Do you ever see it?
No.
Oh, well, there's a show.
I have watched the Gigolos
before. In the house, you know how there's not really any furniture.
So Gigolos, this is a show on Showtime.
Yes, about male prostitutes.
And so you get this, it has, all the trappings of a reality show about trashy, people.
Yes.
Like a housewife. These are leathery men.
Yes.
But you also just get to see, like non-penetrative sex.
You see soft cores.
Yeah.
And then you see the housewife shit. Anyway, the houses look like that. And so Cisco's, I look over at his TV and it's flanked on both sides by stacks of DVDs. Like in the same way that like the Ghostbusters librarian categorizes books.
Right.
Like it just like right up to the top. And so I was like, oh, that's weird. And I'm a movie guy. I collect DVDs. So I was like, what does Cisco have? And I walk over and I quickly realize they're all porn.
A lot of Criterion stuff, right?
Yeah, it's all
ooh,
Kurosawa.
Grey Gardens. Yeah.
Oh, Das Boot.
Well, he has that Ed Wood that was recalled because the song. And so like it's
What's
all...
What's that?
there was an Ed Wood, the first Ed Wood DVD that came out, they like pulled it really quick.
Oh,
there was,
like, I didn't know that.
Special feature.
Because Ed Wood was hard to find on DVD
for
a while.
Now it became easy.
Andy has a DVD of the 89 Fleer Billy Ripken card that says Fuckface.
Just all these rare.
It's all the rarities.
This DVD is just a stamp with an upside down airplane.
So Orson Welles doing champagne commercials.
This is that Jerry Lewis clown movie.
Oh.
Okay, so
Cisco's the one who has that.
He has it, yeah.
Cisco.
The Dead Sea Scrolls. Sure.
So I look and it's all porn, and I'm like, oh, well, that's crazy. And then I remember my roommate's
thing. These are DVDs. These are not Blu-rays.
No, we're not in Blu-ray town.
Okay.
No, we are way too early for that. This is like 2000, 2001.
I just wanted to get a sense of the picture quality.
I understand. Yeah. I understand. You're looking for HD.
Yeah.
And so it's stacked up, and I look at it, and I'm like, oh, it's all hetero. And then I look closer, and it's a lot of gangbang. Like a lot of gangbang. Like penis one ratio, you know, or like 500 penis to one vagina ratio. Like a crazy
penis.
Yeah, like a crazy difference.
Yeah.
And so, I kind of went in the bathroom thinking I knew too much. Like, fuck, what do I do? And then, and then in the book I talk about it, but I took home some souvenirs.
Some Cisco gangbangs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. SGBs?
SGBs.
So yeah. What's that? So I mean, I don't want you to blow this whole book here for this podcast,
which
people
I won't.
Should buy it.
There are a million stories like that.
But I do would like to hear a little bit about Durst.
So Durst,
Robert Durst from the
Jiggly. He doesn't know how to spell that.
Tell us about political comedian Will Durst and their relationship with him.
Okay, well, Will, he's slanted to the right, for sure. So Fred Durst was something you just couldn't get away from in the early 2000s.
Yeah, this
industry.
Was around the same time.
And ironically, Fred doesn't always miss. His music is terrible himself. But he signed, you know, some terrible things like Stained and Puddle of Mud. But he also signed Ringside, She Wants Revenge, and Kenna. Mm-hmm. All good. And Kenna's my favorite album of the 2000s. So, like, he had a decent ear.
Kenna was a guest on The Sound of Young America many years ago.
Great musician. Yeah, incredible album.
Lovely dude, too.
If the Neptunes produced Oingo Boingo, that's what that first album sounds like. All right, silence, sure. So
I'm just accepting it.
Great. Mm-hmm. So I'm
making a mental note to look it up on Spotify when I get home.
New Sacred Cow, great album. And so I am dealing with a lot of people in the music industry when sort of all the buzz is coming at me. And one of them is a rumor, because I've done some things with DJ Lethal from House of Pain, but also from Limp Bizkit. And he goes, Fred Durst heard your stuff and really loves it. And
I guess I became aware of Limp Bizkit in high school,
mm-hmm.
as
we all
were just a thing.
Yeah.
Were they created? Were they just a fucking garage band in a van?
They were a garage band in Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay.
And then they ended up putting DJ Lethal in the band when they got to Interscope. But they were like a garage band in Jacksonville.
Okay.
Yeah. Cock rock.
Okay.
And so so he was a big deal. And so hearing that he wanted to sign me, even though I wasn't necessarily a Limp Bizkit fan, that's a big thing to hear at 19 trying to fucking break it in the music industry. So it's a lot of hope in it. Especially because, like, I'm still on the radio and I don't really know who's trying to sign me. I don't know Jimmy's waiting for me. I don't know any of this shit. So hearing that Fred Durst wants to include me in his roster.
Nookie is appealing.
I mean, the song or the noun?
yeah.
Both. And so I was excited. And so I did a radio appearance on Power 106 where they, for the first time ever, they were going to play a Hawk Carl song, which was my hip-hop name. And so it was a big deal for me. My grandparents were tuning in. I was only freestyling and battling. This was the first time a song I ever recorded was on the radio. And so they hype it up. At 6 o'clock, or no, it's 8 o'clock, we're going to play the first Hawk Carl song ever on the radio. And I'm like, oh my God, everyone I know is pressing record at the same time. And they go, but first we're going to introduce a special guest. We didn't know he's coming in. Give it up for Fred Durst. So I'm like, oh my God, this is fucking perfect. I'm sitting at home. My mom's on the phone. I'm like, this is great. Fred's going to hype me up, right? And so he goes, they go, Fred, we're going to play this Hot Carl song. What do you think about Hot Carl? And I'm like, oh, here we go. And he goes, I think he's a fucking nerd. I think his voice is terrible. I don't think he's going anywhere.
Whoa.
And like, you could hear the gasping in the studio. Like, it's not something, you've never heard that.
To be fair, he turned out to be right on all counts.
he's pretty close. He nailed it. He just didn't say virgin, which would have put it all together. And so I didn't know what to do. And it was I had so much hope in what was about to happen. And now it's deflated. And so I call in.
That it's so weird to think that there was a time in culture.
Yeah.
In America.
Yeah.
Where what Fred Durst said mattered.
Huge. By the way, huge.
That shouldn't have ever been.
Yeah, this is a time when the Bloodhound Gang sold 4 million records. I mean, this is a different time in music.
I have such a hard time thinking back to anything before the turning point that happened. I mean, you and I remember where we were.
Yeah.
When Jin taught us to speak Chinese.
Everything is post and pre that, like 9/11.
Yeah, exactly.
It is speak Chinese, yeah.
Well, I mostly think of 9/11 as post when Jin taught us to speak Chinese.
Music's better now, right?
That might have been just better. Before Jin taught us to speak Chinese.
It's true. And so Fred shit on me. And so I called the radio station and I said, put him on the fucking phone. And Lethal was like, no, I'm not going to do it. And I'm like in my college dorm screaming. And I'm like, put him on the fucking phone. And they won't. He goes, tune in. I'm going to fix this. And so they come back after my song and they go, well, Fred, a lot of people have been calling in, which is probably a lie. It's just me. And they go, a lot of people have been calling in and they're mad at you for what you said. And Fred goes, you know, I was messing around. I was trying to make that dude more famous. You know, like just trying to be like a, like, I don't know. I don't know what he was trying to do. I guess he was trying to be a troll before that was a thing. And so he goes, I might even sign that dude. And I was like, okay, all right. And so we end up getting a song together. And so Interscope sets up a song.
Yeah.
And so he's going to get paid way too much to do it. And it's like, it's not my favorite song now listening back. Like, it's kind of like a gimmicky single. Mm-hmm. And so I waited in the studio for 3 hours and he stood me up.
Oh.
And I had never spoken to him really again.
Huh.
Yeah.
But that song exists.
That song exists with another real talented dude, though. With Mark McGrath. Yeah, I did that song with Mark McGrath like 2 weeks later.
Did you really?
I did.
Wow.
Mark took the Fred spot.
What a...
Kind of a perfect replacement.
What a slice.
They're comparable artists.
What a slice of that time.
One guy who takes himself very serious, the other who doesn't. Mark McGrath.
Yeah. I think by all counts, Mark McGrath gets it. Realizes that he's.
I don't know
McGrath.
If he gets it. He never engaged in my feud with his crews.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, right.
I invited him.
He canceled it, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah.
And he never. I tried so hard to have a mutually beneficial feud between my crews and his crews.
You won the feud.
An inter-crews feud.
You were the LL Cool J to his cannabis, though.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
He fell off. But anyway, that's my Durst.
Okay. Do you still keep in touch with Mark McGrath?
Mark McGrath follows me on Twitter.
Okay. Like Jin.
Yeah. Every once in a while when I do something that he thinks is funny, he'll put like brilliant. And then I'll write back and I'll go, hey, I want to get, because it was like recently he did it. And I was like, I'd like to get you my book. I talk about, he threw a birthday party for me for my 21st birthday.
Oh.
Very nice
of really nice of Mark McGrath.
It was very sweet of Mark McGrath.
And I imagine that it was just soaked with pussy juices.
Well, no, it's funny enough, we played Scrabble all night. No, it was a fucking pussy fest. Yeah, no, it was Las Palmas in LA. It was like a Hollywood club. It made me make out with a playmate. No, it was fucking crazy Mark McGrath shit. He got a tattoo on his neck that he had removed a couple days later. Crazy story.
At the party?
Yeah. No, right afterwards. He got like, anyway, that's all in the book. And so Mark follows me and puts like brilliant or like really cool, funny, whatever. And he writes something and then I go, I want to get you a book. And then he never writes me back. But I want to get him the book.
He just writes back, can't read.
He goes,
my assistant is reading Twitter to me.
Yeah, someone goes, this isn't Mark. This is the guy who runs Smash Mouth social media. I do all of these.
I'm owning Bernie Sanders fans, so I can't respond to you.
Yeah, that's my scoop.
Look, I don't mean to ask the most obvious question on earth that you've answered in every time you've talked about your book anywhere, but
yes.
Does Kanye West owe you $300?
He does. He owes me $300. Kanye and I worked together very, very early in his career. He actually...
When everyone still thought his name was Kanye West.
Or Kanye. Yeah. He was a great... You know, basically they gave me a Beat CD. I listened to it, which was like a business card back in 2000s. You had to listen to all of them. And so I listened to it and I was like, this guy's a fucking genius. The instrumental to H to Izzo was on there. I kind of thought that was great, but I couldn't use it. And there was a bunch of songs on there that became hits.
That's too bad because that's the anthem.
Put your damn hands up. Mm-hmm. And so I was super into him. And so I made my manager make an introduction. I paid him $7,000, I think, for a beat, which is incredible, thinking now you can't even get him on the phone for $7,000.
You can't even get one of his T-shirts for seven grand.
Yeah, the shoes are 10. And so I we got along really well. I would say we were friends. We saw movies together.
What movies did you see with Kanye
West? We saw Master and Commander together.
Oh.
He loved it. That's great. Yeah, he loved it.
Yeah, Master and Commander is fucking great. That's why.
I don't remember liking it at the time, but for some reason I've liked it more.
You're wrong. Master and Commander is like the... The Das Boot.
It is good. It is good.
It's dad better.
Kanye was right.
One of the truly great dad movies.
And so we would two-way. That was the way you communicated as a hip-hop artist in the 2000s. We would two-way a lot. Like, he would two-way me. If he was at Blockbuster and wanted to know a movie, I'd write back Ghost World. 3 hours later, he'd write back, that's the best. You know, like, we had, like, a cool relationship, friend relationship. And so he and I would work on songs. One did get released called Armando Sante, and then he'd help me on other things, and I'd help him on some things. But it was so early that like his managers didn't even consider him a rapper. They right. just thought he was a producer. Don't rap for people. It was almost like he was telling me a secret. Like, yo, I rap too.
Do you remember the song that he did where...
Only movie titles?
No, I was going to say where he goes... We are the champions. Spend a lot of time in Hamptons.
Yeah, that's the Kanye I knew as a rapper for a long time, which is one of the reasons.
I love that verse. When
he asked me to be on a song with me, I had my manager tell him no, which is such a bad regret now. But I just didn't think he was a good rapper, and I knew as Through the Wire came out and things came out, he got better. So that's fair. He got better. But we and him worked late into the night. And it was the time that he talks about a lot, which is that he lived far away in Jersey at his mother's house and would drive into Baseline to record. And the train was leaving. And so he was like, hey, I got to go. I was like, nah, man, because we were like getting real, you know, fun, the song sounding great. And I said, stick around. I said, I got this budget. Don't worry about it. I'll put the car on it. And he's like, dude, that's expensive in the middle of the night. And I was like, no, don't worry about it. You know, and he's like, well, I'll have to pay you back. And I was like, no, don't. Like, don't worry about it. And he's like, no, I'm going to pay you back. I was like, all right. He had no money, you know? Mm-hmm. And so he would bother me every once in a while. Like, I'll pay you it back. I'll pay you it back. And then after a while, like, when someone owes you something and they keep telling you, you're like, hey, pay me back. Like, eventually. You know what I mean? Like, pay me back. Sure. And then when he became famous, we sort of lost touch. Hmm. Not for any reason. Not like, oh, he got famous and I didn't.
He was pretty busy with his own, sorry.
But even, he got another comedian friend. And so he just sort of disappeared. I disappeared. We went different ways. And the $300, it's about $300, not exactly, but it's a little under. But yeah, that's an outstanding debt.
Hmm.
Yeah. And now with all this money he owes, I should be in front of the line, sort of. I've been there earlier.
Have you thought about asking Mark Zuckerberg for the money?
That's a good idea. Just a tweet.
You know what? I'm sorry to make fun of Kanye West. He's amazing.
He is great.
I don't have anything bad to say about
him. He's
Kanye
not Beastie Boys to you? No.
Kanye West?
Yeah.
No, I fucking love Kanye
West. I love
West.
Him too.
He's not that great at rapping.
No.
Still. But yeah, I fucking love him.
He's great for good reason. He's so talented. I mean, you know, and I talk about in the book, you know, Kanye's only one chapter, even though it's the title. It's just one story that you read. And I talk about being an early stop for this train, and it's crazy. It's like, I don't know if you've ever been in these positions where it's someone who's going to eventually rule the world, and you see way before it. But he still does things that, like, show you he could rule the world. Like, for example, if we'd eat at a restaurant, and a waitress would come up, and she'd take our order, and he goes, you know, I'm a rapper. Hmm. And she'd be like, what? And he'd be like, I rap. And she's like, okay, cool. And he's like, do you want to hear me rap? And she's like, yeah. I guess. And then he'd be like, I'm going to kill this. Pass me the pancake. And I'm like, what? And then she's like, okay, I got to go do another table. But he loved doing it. And like if he played music for people, he'd stand on it. Whoever it is, he'd stand on the table and rap along with it. And it's like he had this confidence that he didn't really care what your response was going to be. And that's key when people start laughing at him when he plays Jesus Walks. Like, and I was there when very famous people laughed at Jesus Walks when he left the room. I don't think he cared. And that was the sign of like a very... sure person that he was going to rule the world, and he did.
Who was the famous person laughing? Was it Tommy Lee Jones?
it was weird enough, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's like, excuse me, I have to go make a piss Nike video.
Yeah, but it was great. He's a great, I mean, he was an incredible artist to watch.
Do you think that after Supreme Court hearings, when Clarence Thomas famously doesn't say anything, he just laughs at the end as soon as they leave?
As soon as
he's just sitting there soiling his robe.
Yeah, he's not silent
at all.
He's
got a messy little secret.
He's speaking in a different language.
Yeah.
Clarence got a messy little secret.
Sounds like a good soul record.
Yeah. The famous Supreme Court case of new Nikes v. My Piss.
We'll be back.
Got a real opinion on that one.
Yeah.
We'll be back in
a
just
landmark
a
case.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. La, 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 la,
la, la, la, la. The three of you enter a cave of a big red dragon and is standing over a hoard of precious golden rubies. And he says, what do you do, adventurers? I'm a dragon man.
I cast fire on him. It's very good.
I address the red dragon to say, us, we're the hosts of The Adventure Zone, a podcast about family playing Dungeons & Dragons.
Very good synergy. Commit to the bit.
I roll to charm new listeners. It is very effective. Against all odds.
Everybody, we're the Macroids. We host The Adventure Zone, a podcast where we play Dungeons & Dragons together. It's a comedy podcast. We don't take the rules too seriously because there's a lot of them and we did not take the time to learn them. Maybe listen to us. We come out every other Thursday on the Maximum Fun Network. You can find us on iTunes or on MaximumFun.org. I think this promo is a critical hit. La 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 la.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Jensen Karp, still the Jewish Jay-Z.
Okay, I want to go over a couple things real quick here, mm-hmm. Jordan.
Yeah.
Number one, Max FunCon East tickets on sale right now at MaxFunCon.com.
Great.
Labor Day weekend in the Poconos, mm-hmm. driving distance from Philly, New York City, most of the Eastern Seaboard. Let's be mm-hmm. honest, it's going to be a fucking blast. We don't announce the lineup, but Jordan and I are going to be there. we got a lot of awesome stuff planned. It's going to be a hoot. So that's thing number one. Thing number two, me and John Hodgman are going on tour. Judge John Hodgman tour in September is going to be a delight. Again, the Northeast will be the epicenter of this tour. We've got shows in Massachusetts, D.C., Brooklyn, all the places that you would expect mm-hmm. in the great Northeast of the United States of America. You can find all of the dates and info at MaximumFun.org. And also, just want to say, Father's Day is coming up. You guys know about that, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A day for daddy.
Yeah. Y'all got to get something for daddy, okay?
Daddy day, yeah.
So my recommendation, put this on shop.com. We got all kinds of beautiful vintage things, scarves, pocket squares, all kinds of beautiful stuff. And if you use the code FULLCHORT, you get free shipping. So there you go.
Can't lose.
A triple dip of great advice. Ooh. There you go. A double dip of great advice. Okay. You guys want to get into some calls?
Yeah.
When something momentous happens to you, we ask you to call us at 206-984-4FUN for our segment, Momentous Occasions. Let's take our first call.
Hello, Jordan, Jesse, Go. This is Chuck calling from Chicago, calling with a moment of shame. I've been working as a visiting artist in my daughter's third grade elementary school class. And we're building a giant tower of Rapunzel. And today while I was leaning down to grab a paper towel tube, I audibly farted in my daughter's third grade class. So I guess we're moving now. It's going to be a shame to break it to my wife. Children laughed, covered their mouths with their hands. And tittered. Thank you.
Nah, she a princess now.
I have a feeling that when this daughter,
yeah,
you know, this is going to be, she's third grade, so, you know, this is going to be in 10 years,
mm-hmm.
brings the prom date over.
Mm-hmm.
Prom date's sitting in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
Dad's doing his diligence. Comes downstairs to meet the date.
Mm-hmm.
Date's going to say,
references.
Oh. Your fart dad.
Fart dad. Yeah. This is honest. I mean, it's a brutal story. I mean, I know that it's cute or whatever, mm-hmm. but like this girl's going to feel this.
Yeah.
This is years Absolutely. Of therapy. This is stripper material.
I feel like it depends on how he played it off. Pretty soon he's going to be at Mark McGrath's birthday party. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Living it up?
I don't know. I kind of feel like, you know, the red, white, and blue. The funny things you mm-hmm, do, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know, America, this is you. Fun stuff like this.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's true that his story could have went so many other ways.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he was like, then I bent over and I reached over and I was like, ooh, like, yeah. I was like, where's this going? And then it went to fart. So it's true that it's not the worst pedophilic thing he could have done.
Oh, you just assumed it was going to be pedophilic?
Or like a teacher boob or something. Yeah, I thought right. we were going
oh,
with
face and boob.
Or
teacher
something.
Boob.
Yeah, I thought he was
teacher
going
boob
somewhere.
Was a teacher boob or split pants were the things mm-hmm. my head was going to.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, move away. That's
right.
good.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, just ask one of the other neighborhood dads to take one for the team.
Go in a
go
fart.
Into the class. Well, you have to one up it.
Right. You have to shit your pants.
Yeah, you have to either shit
your pants,
pants
or piss your Jordans.
Piss your Jordans. No, the kids will be like, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I know that from the internet.
Everybody's pissing their Jordans.
Tyler Oakley pissed his Jordans on YouTube.
I think I've heard that.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of guys on Vine who will do it in 6 seconds.
Yeah, yeah, but then get out real quick.
Yeah, but they'll do like an offensive gay voice too. And
yeah.
Like,
oh, God, that felt racist.
Yeah.
Or they'll say, respect my Jordan pissing.
Sure, yeah.
Right. I do think, though, that if it became his catchphrase... You know what I mean?
Oh.
Like every time the kid saw him, he was like,
always
it's
farting.
Me, Jeff, or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it became part of his almost clown routine. It could work too.
You know what my recommendation is? custom license plate.
Fartdad.
F-R-T. I guess you can spell
Fartdad.
F-A-R-T-D-A-D.
It works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just fill out that. You just have to fill. The thing is if you write in the thing.
It's Fartdad. It won't let you.
If you write in the explanation that it's because you farted in your daughter's third grade class,
it won't work.
They're not going to give it to you. You're going to have to say that it was a tribute to your painting mentor. Signore Fartdad.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you don't like your old art dad, F art dad.
Yeah.
I'll F that guy. I don't like that dude.
Sure. Maybe it's just kind of a general, you know, fuck you statement to the patriarchy. Like, why are we going to college and learning about all these dead white men, these art dads?
Right.
F them.
F those guys.
Let's learn about some fart women of color.
Also, has there ever been a commercial with someone passing gas? Because I think you can get away with Fartdad.
Oh,
I think you get away
some
with
kind
it.
Of farted ad.
Farted ad, yeah.
Yeah. An ad where someone farted.
Yeah, yeah. It was someone gassed in it. No big deal. Give me the plate.
Yeah.
Farted ad was the Mexican Jerry Lewis.
Oy, solamente.
Fartid ad also sounds like a Persian name.
Oh, yeah.
Fartid ad. Could I think Persian. I grew up with Fartid ad.
Yeah, could be Persian.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take another call. This whole thing was really stupid. I'm ashamed.
Hello, Jordan, Jesse, and guest. This is Sam calling from Brooklyn with a momentous occasion. I was at the DMV, and there was a civic gentleman walking around asking people if they were Jewish, as they do. And normally I lie and say no, so I don't have to get into a confrontation with them. But today I decided to say yes anyway, and I got a bar mitzvah right there in the DMV, so I guess I'm a man now. Thanks, guys. Bye.
That's dope.
That is great.
DMV bar mitzvah.
What kind of entertainment did you have? What was the theme?
For me?
No, oh, for him. This guy in the DMV.
Waiting in line. Waiting in line is your theme. If you have your bar mitzvah at a DMV, it's waiting in line. Right. Every table is a different number, 1 through 66. Those are the numbers they call out as they get their lights, you know, candle lit. And then I can't imagine what the entertainment is.
If you get bar mitzvahed in the DMV, do you still have to do a passage from the Torah?
Yes. Or you just take
a test.
You take a permit test. Yeah, you just take the permit test. That's how you get over it.
You just have to remember that no one is allowed to carry a white cane unless they are blind. It's illegal.
Illegal. Also, that's having a bar mitzvah without the best part of a bar mitzvah, the $3,000 that every Jewish kid gets. That's the ceiling and the floor. You don't make any more or any less than $3,000, no matter how rich or poor you are.
Well, somebody at David Newman's bar mitzvah made my leather jacket that they stole off the back of my chair.
Oh, boy.
That was pretty fucked up.
Yeah. That is fucked up. No kids came to school looking like the host of Cheaters?
No, I think it was like an uncle or something.
Oh, really? The host of Cheaters?
Yeah.
Johnny Greco or whatever his name is? Yeah.
Finally, a jacket luxurious enough to appear on television in. Time to get stabbed on a boat or whatever.
If that happened for real or not,
yeah.
He says that out loud. Anyway,
I should probably keep this to myself.
Yeah.
What am I doing?
And furthermore, I should keep track of my own life. Maybe I should read my Wikipedia or look myself up on Snopes.
I was there, but I just don't remember if I was stabbed for reals or if it was theatrical.
Now, excuse me, I'm going to join these kids for the Macarena. Probably around the time, right? Were you guys doing the Macarena at the bar mitzvah?
Can I tell you something that really upset me about that fucking driver's test?
Sure.
Okay, so I passed the first time. This is not about me.
I mean, bragging, sure. Mm.
No, this is not about, this is just, that's just truth. It's not bragging
no, being
if
honest.
It's true.
You're being honest.
Look, I don't live in Hampton Yachts. I really do love that song and that verse. But anyway, there are a bunch of questions on the California driving test about blood alcohol levels, and none of them say like which of the following is too many drinks to be driving, or like let's say you're a 250-pound man and you have three whiskeys or whatever. It's all like 0.08, 0.12. Does that just presume that we all have our own breathalyzer that we check in with before we get behind the wheel?
It's not really a driving question.
I think they're just trying to discourage any kind of drinking and driving. I think maybe the idea is to keep it ambiguous so you
don't even try.
Now, hold on, Jordan. I happen to know for a fact that while you're not allowed to drunk drive, mm-hmm. It's a completely different thing if you're buzzed driving.
No, I saw a bench. It's the same.
I saw a billboard that said buzz driving is drunk driving.
And also Tinder gives you chlamydia.
I did see that also. Yeah.
Let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. What analogy would you use to describe the STD explosion in America?
I would think it's a silhouette featuring the Tinder logo kissing another silhouette that says chlamydia on it.
Got it.
Yeah.
I think these are probably only local billboards.
Listen, yeah. Let's bring them all over the world, though. Take them with you on the con.
You know what? I say let's bring this chlamydia. There is nothing. Let's get Bill Gates on the phone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or Melinda Gates.
Either one.
Or Bill Gates' dad, William Gates. Let's get them on the line, and let's bring those billboards with a volcano exploding that says syphilis explosion.
Yeah.
Let's bring those to Africa. Let's bring those to Malaysia.
By the way,
what these people need.
I know this is regional as fuck, but that ad does look a lot like the Dianetics cover.
It really does.
It looks very similar.
Yeah.
So both really problematic.
I think this is the same company that's like an STD awareness company that does, you know, STD education in LA, and they have a lot of audacious billboards.
Yeah.
Syphilis explosion.
Mm-hmm. We're number two in chlamydia. Isn't that one of them too?
It's a picture of
the California bear, and it says we're number two in chlamydia. I was always like,
whenever I see that one, I think like, yeah, well, we're the number one most populous state, so we're doing all right.
Doing pretty good. I mean, I'd like to think Wyoming is one, and that's crazy.
Yeah, that is.
That's bonkers.
Everyone has two chlamydia.
Yeah. Every child, two chlamydia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the Planned Parenthood, they're like, sir, your results are back. You have double chlamydia.
He goes, well, that's the average for our nation. And walks away.
That's true. Well, see you later.
Yeah. Well,
now,
I made
you, excuse me, I'm off to host Cheaters. That's right. I'm talking to myself. Who am I? This company now has one. That is the Bernie Sanders logo, and it says "Feel the Burn" BURN ? And then gives the website to go to for STD treatment.
Do you think they're the ones that also make the minority ones? Because those are rough.
Oh, I don't think I have seen
where
those.
It's just like
Mario Van Peebles yelling at you.
Yeah, it just says like it's like very focused on how the African American community gets AIDS more frequently. It's like very focused, but then the ads are startling as well. Like they're very, you know, they're trying to get your attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think these that we're talking about are trying to be kind of cheeky and outrageous.
Yeah.
I think they have some emoji ones now.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Do you think it's working?
I mean, I have gone down from three chlamydia to two chlamydia.
Well, then get out of Wyoming.
So
I've got triple crabs.
Well, off to Wyoming it is.
I can't wait for triple crab days at Red Lobster.
Do you guys know if any horse ever did get the triple crab?
Yeah, I think Ol' Itchy did.
Okay, good. Because I knew it was a big thing in history if someone was going to get the triple crab.
Yeah.
And someone did, obviously. So
the last baseball player to win the triple crab was Jimmy Fox.
Actually, I think it was Lenny Dykstra before him, though.
There you go.
Lenny Dykstra seems like he would get triple crab.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, but that was actually after his career when he was a successful con man.
And eventual con man, that's right.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Jensen Karp, the Hebrew Hova.
Jensen, get off your fucking two-way.
The
whole time we're here, Jensen Karp's on his sidekick, tapping away.
Still talking to Fat Joe, just trying to figure out where we're going to meet up after this to talk about our civics, our souped-up civics. Just trying to figure out what we're up to. Talk about our Sprite ads. very 2000s.
That was very the S to the P-R-I-T-E can.
Yep.
It's a lifesaver when you need thirst quenching, like a kiss with a lime and twist. Now you know that's kicking.
Holy cow.
Word.
They sponsor the show, so they make us do this.
Yeah.
This is just a regular part
of the
show.
Yeah, I knew it wasn't because of me.
Specifically
nice of you to segue
is the
into
Chris,
it.
This is the crisscross one.
There was a good one.
Yeah. Ayo, Chris. Yeah? What's that in your hand? It's the S to the P-R-I-T-E can. It's a lifesaver when you need thirst quenching like a kiss with a lime and twist. Now you know that's kicking. Word, drink up. Drink up is what I got to do. Why? Because I like the Sprite in you.
That's amazing.
I don't know why that's in my head.
That's incredible.
I know the Tab Barbershop Quartet song.
I need a tab.
I know this is very obscure and only Jesse will think it's funny, but I know the Mellow Yellow one that Quo did.
What?
Do you not remember Quo?
No.
Oh, fuck. I was trying to go obscure kid rap group. I went too far.
Went too far. You have to remember.
That's Clarence Thomas's YouTube name. It's Mellow Yellow. Woody. Consistent shoes.
Fuck this. Okay. Jensen Karp's book is called Kanye West Owes Me $300.
Mm-hmm. Colon
and,
the quickening.
And other true stories from a white rapper who almost made it big.
Got it.
That's it. And so it comes out June 7th.
Jensen Karp.
Formerly known as Hot Carl.
Kanye West owes me $300, colon, the new batch.
Yes, the new batch, right.
It's kind of a fun satirical take.
And then in parentheses it says, farted dad.
Farted dad.
Yeah. Just in parentheses.
Oh, man, you guys know about the beef between farted dad and Canteen Foss.
Who is the true clown prince of Mexico? Is it Canteen Foss or farted dad?
Fartied ad. No. Fartied ad is in ISIS.
Yeah.
In the 1960s, Canteen Foss versus Fartied Dad. That was sort of like, if people don't remember that, and I understand we have a younger audience.
Please. Sure.
It was sort of like the El Cucuy versus El Piolín de la Mañana
of the
mid-1960s.
Absolutely. And it was a real battle.
Yeah. You know how that is. Okay. Oh, fuck, this show is stupid.
So dumb.
We should quit this show, Jordan.
Oh, yeah, good idea.
What are we doing with our lives?
I felt like that working on our Night Muse thing was pretty strong.
Yeah, it all went downhill from there.
Yeah.
You really set us up, and then we knocked him down.
There's some good stuff in this one.
Yeah, really knocked him down.
Okay, so Jensen Karp, there you go.
Yes.
I look forward to future tweets from people that say me and Jensen should have a rap podcast. I don't remember enough about rap music to have a rap podcast.
What are you talking about? You just rapped the Sprite ad from
Criss
Cross.
That's all I remember.
You know a ton.
That's all I remember.
By the way, if I had a question about Bay Area hip-hop, it's you or Moshe. That's all I can ask.
You should ask Moshe or you should ask Andrew Nosnitsky.
Nas is crazy.
Ask Nas about it because he knows.
I'm too intimidated to ask Nas.
Nas has a house built out of fucking
E-40 cigarettes.
Bullies with Fullies cassette tapes.
Yeah.
I'm not going to host that. I don't think probably America really needs that two white guys rap show.
They really don't nowadays, no. If you want appropriation, there's enough out there. Yeah. We don't need to do it for you.
Do you guys just want to run down the week's Marvel casting news?
Yeah. Well, there's not enough of those either. So.
Yeah. I think that...
Ooh. I'm excited to hear who's in the hottest new Marvel Cinematic Universe extravaganzas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who's playing Spider-Man?
Sure.
It's Clarence Thomas. Clarence Thomas is your new Spider-Man.
Really?
Yeah, it's piss instead of webs now. he shoots from his wrist, he shoots out piss. It's a crazy Spider-Man, but it's pretty cool.
What do you think about the decision to cast Sonia Sotomayor as Daredevil?
Well, you know what? She's got a vision, and he doesn't.
Do you think? Because a lot of people tell me that's just social justice warrior bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think she has this kind of wise Latina vibe.
Absolutely.
That I think is perfect for Daredevil.
And Marvel has always been gender neutral.
She's a real New Yorker?
She's a real New Yorker, yeah. And so she doesn't take shit, neither did Daredevil.
Yeah. It's a really good point. Well, we've settled all of that.
And the Lady of Justice is blind.
Yeah.
Sure. Oh.
So Daredevil, it makes all sense. It makes sense.
Brian Fernandez, a.k.a. Sonny D, our producer, laughing outside the booth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a put on. He's just like that. You can find us on Twitter, at Jesse Thorne, at Jordan_Morris, and at
Jensen Clan 88 with a C. I'm not racist. So it's Jensen Clan 88.
Like Cherry Clan.
Yes.
Speaking of how not racist you are. let's see. Hashtag at JJGo on Twitter. Join us on Reddit at MaximumFun.reddit.com where you can chat about the show. And on Facebook. Join the Maximum Fun group on Facebook. Usually there's a nice chat about the latest Jordan Jesse Go there. Max FunCon East tickets on sale now. MaxFunCon.com and I want to thank I've gotten so many nice emails from folks who I presume to be dairy and meat farmers about the Beef and Dairy podcast, the Beef and Dairy Network podcast, the newest show in MaximumFun.org. I just had no idea that there were so many agheads in the audience listening to this show. But I've heard a lot of people say it was informative. A lot of people say it was interesting. I've even heard from some people who thought it was funny, which I don't think is what they're going for, but I was really impressed by. So if you're not one of those people who's already checked out the Beef and Dairy Network podcast, give that a listen. I think you're really going to enjoy it. And we'll talk to you next time on Jordan, Jesse, Go.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.